is the infamous Prophecy Night. And Prophecy Night, it's a show that's put together by Homie 3. And Homie 3 is, he's basically producing the show and doing the show. He is the show. He's the head guy. And he will be doing this show with a lot of his very special guests. And they'll be talking about prophecies, hopefully past, present, and future. And a lot of emphasis, hopefully, on future. We shall see. But and prophecy in general, I imagine. But that's all up to him. Ghostly Talk, our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. And there are links up on the page for all of the guests that are on today that Homie has brought together. And what happens is we had one of these before.
Right.
We had a... You're right, I don't hear you very well in here. That's okay. We had one of these shows before, and it was just absolutely amazing to have everybody get together and talk about prophecies and the future and what prophecy means to people, and just all kinds of very, very interesting stuff was talked about. And what we did is Homie says, well, would you like to do another one of those? And we jumped at the chance, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what tonight has become. Our website, www.ghostlytalk.com. Ghostly Talk is broadcast live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Pioneer Radio Network and Omnisound. We're also carried on many, many affiliates. They're all linked up at our website, so check up our website, www.ghostlytalk.com. Without any further delay, I do want to introduce the master of ceremonies tonight. The master of ceremonies tonight is Homie 3. We all know who you are, Homie. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
I got lost in space.
Well, I can see where that would happen. On a night like tonight, of course that would happen. But welcome to Ghostly Talk, Homie, and you are the master of ceremonies. So tell us a little bit about yourself and shout out at your website.
Well, a little bit about myself. I wrote a book called Prophecies with a Divine Answer, a message from God to the world of mankind. I write about prophecies of Nostradamus and quite a few other prophetic works, and I try to bring them together to make it an all-understanding for everybody, and also give enlightenment as to certain other abilities that we all have, psychic ability like Jill Dane, Scott Christensen, Derek White, Skycloud, Cattell, myself as well. We all have that ability. And what can we do to use it to better ourselves in life and mankind and our future? That's what I write about in the book. And also it tells about my life and why it is that I'm writing about, giving this book. Why am I writing about it? So you can go to the website at homie3.com, H-O-M-E-Y, the number 3.com.
Well, excellent. Thank you, Homie. And also on the phone, we have Derek White Skycloud. Derek is a psychic medium that makes himself available to the spirit world to receive messages from those who have passed over to the other side. With the assistance of his spirit guide, White Bear, he uses this gift to prove to all that life does exist after death. Derek also hosts his own radio program on BBS Radio named Between Two Worlds, where he puts his gifts to work. And I hear, Derek, White Skycloud, that you're also working on various other projects. I was chatting with you a little bit earlier, and you're a busy, busy person. So, Derek, White Skycloud, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Well, thank you.
How about, what is your website, and what are some of the cool projects that you're working on before we introduce the rest of the guests?
Okay. Well, my website is whiteskycloud.com. I live here in British Columbia, Canada, in Vancouver, British Columbia. And there's a smaller area where I live is called White Rock, which is a pretty cool name to have. But I'm also a paranormal investigator. I have two radio shows. I have one that I have going right now. I have a new one coming up on July the 19th on BBS Radio called Spiritual Journeys of White Sky Cloud, which is based on talk radio, and which I have a guest on, and they'll be talking about their spiritual journey, what they've dealt with in their youth growing up, and sharing their stories. And no matter if a person is professional or not, that's really what I'm trying to do, is bring in something new that is going to inspire people to get more of that incentive to become who they are today. And also with my other show called Between Two Worlds, that's on BBS Radio, and that's all to do with my mediumship that I do. So I have people calling in doing complimentary readings of me as a medium. And I'm also doing various radio programs as well, so I'm always interviewed quite often by many people. And in fact, we've got some people that I know here on radio that we work back and forth once in a while, with Scott Christensen and Homie 3, and I just met Jill Dane, so it's going to be really fun night.
Well, I hope so. And thank you for joining us. And speaking of Jill Dane, as the daughter of renowned psychic Mickey Dane, Jill has demonstrated a world-class ability of her own. Named one of the top five psychics by Women's Own Magazine and American Women's Magazine, she has also been written up by the Miami Herald, the Baltimore News, and the National Enquirer, the Globe, the Star, and a host of other publications. And we're meeting again for the second time, Jill. It's great to have you on Ghostly Talk.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. I'm sorry to say, remember last time I was on?
I do remember last time you were on, but that was a very fun show. I learned a lot.
No, it was wonderful, but I was predicting as well. You know, I was in the Las Vegas in 2004, and in every newspaper in the United States, I predicted that we were going to go to war with Korea in 2006, that there was going to be missiles sent over, and that's what they're saying on the news this past week. And I said it on your show. I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't like the predictions I predict.
That is true. That is true that sometimes... Oh, that's encouraging. That's true, though. Sometimes predictions are on the dire and dour and sad side. But then again, if you don't put them out there into the universe, then how can anybody have a chance at stopping them? So I am hoping that all this news, and I was watching the news on the way over about Korea, is going to end up being, turned around. And
when I was on radio in 2004, when I was predicting Bush, and then I predicted this war with North Korea, they were saying, "Jill, we're more worried about Iran than Korea." And I kept saying, "I'm not worried about Iran. I'm worried about North Korea." And they doubted me on that prediction. But the one good news is the Miami Heat won the NBA, like I predicted.
Woohoo!
And I predicted that from day one, before, from 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy about that.
That worked out, and we're all very happy about that. Thank you, Jill, for joining us tonight.
Well, I'm in Florida. I may have a New York accent, but I'm in Florida. So I'm really happy.
Ah, yes, a translocated New York area native down in Florida rooting for Miami Heat. And I don't blame you. It really worked out this year.
But I still love the Yankees.
Go Yankees. We also have on the phone Scott Christensen. Scott is a psychic and author of Bridging the Gap Between Christianity and the Mystical that has helped thousands come to a better understanding between what they have been taught and what they have experienced firsthand. Scott Christensen, this is my second time meeting you. Welcome back to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, how are you?
So far, so good. This is getting, just trying to get everybody and all their voices combined together is taxing the system, but I'm sure it's going to turn into a fascinating show, because all of you guys are highly respected, and I really, really enjoy the work of each and every one of you. Scott, tell us about yourself and what your website is.
Well, my website is www.connectwithscott.com, and my work, gosh, that just changes a little bit every day. I do roughly 100 media appearances per year, and starting to do more TV. The range of my gift, I tend not to limit spirit, and therefore I don't limit what spirit pushes through me. So I do everything from psychic readings to mediumship to hands-on healing, paranormal investigations, medical analysis. You name it. It's just whatever needs to come through does. And I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of miracles.
And thank you for joining us for this show. Homie 3 put it all together. We also were supposed to have Cattell on. Did Cattell join the bridge line? Hearing nothing. I hope that she does join the bridge line eventually. So if you hear yet another voice pop in wondering what's all going on, it's probably Cattell. With that, homie, I imagine you've got an agenda, or not an agenda, what do they call it, an itinerary. You've got an itinerary that you want to go through, so I'm going to turn the show over to you. Homie 3, you're in charge of Ghostly Talk.
Oh, well, thank you, Doug. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Anyway, this is actually a lot of fun.
Well, first, I'd like to ask the other psychics here in the room what their opinions are on Nostradamus and certain other prophetic writings, what their opinions might be. Okay. Let's, how about we start with Derek and Derek Whiteside. Maybe we can find out what he thinks about the Hopi Indians and what they have stated about our life.
Well, basically, I'll give you some information that it's kind of neat. When I was, I would say 13, 14 years old, I've had interest in Nostradamus since I was that young. And that was back in the early 70s. I remember William Shatner, I think it's the other guy who played the clock, what was his name?
Leonard Nimoy.
He did a documentary about Nostradamus. And I remember tape recording it. I got a tape of it back in, for 1976. And, which is, that's quite a long time ago. And I kept that tape. You will never see it on TV. It's an old program that was on. And I decided to tape record it, and I taped the whole thing through. And the interesting part of it is that listening to that tape and hearing the predictions now for today is quite, I guess to say, eye-opening, because what was spoken then, how they were trying to decipher Nostradamus' work, compared to today, and there's a lot of other new people out there that have been practicing, working on deciphering the books and the works that he's been doing, there has been a lot of changes. And we're at the top of the prophecies and Nostradamus and all that. And there have been some changes from his predictions, because people chose to make those changes from what was supposed to have happened, because people are paying attention to that. But there's also other people out there who actually read for Nostradamus. I mean, I've met a couple of people who actually call themselves special mediums, who actually feel themselves that they actually have Nostradamus as a guide. So it depends on each person. And the person I've worked with, or actually spoken to quite a few years ago, who said that they had Nostradamus as a guide, and some of the predictions that he's made have come true. So, and they're not based on any of his writings, but he did share some from the past. But I've been fascinated by Nostradamus for a lot of years. I haven't followed up on everything. I mean, I'm not in the quatrains and dealing with all of his scrolls, but I felt that, I think of all of us that have a bit of that insight, that Nostradamus has given us some influence of saying, you know, we're going to push the buttons and see how far we can go by sharing with the rest of the world as mediums or as futuristic, and to see what we do. In my traditional way, we don't call ourselves mediums, we don't call ourselves psychics, we call ourselves seers, which basically Nostradamus called himself a seer. And back then, those years, that's how we used to follow it up our traditional way. The Hopi elders, there was a man who's I highly regarded as a good friend. He passed away just last year, and that's Robert Goldswolf. And he did a lot of work, research with the Hopi Indians for many years. He worked with them, lived with them for a bit to learn more about the history, and they talk about the end times. And one thing I've learned about this, that I sat down with my guides and I asked them about the end times, if there's going to be an end time. And they told me their version of end times means change, but does not mean the end of the world. And I think, basically, some of our words, that how we say those words to the rest of people in the world, is them to say it's not the end time of our lives, but there's going to be some changes. The end of time is basically the end of change. And instead of having to walk around with this big, huge plaque that most people carried on themselves for many, many generations, and it says the end is near, it's not. The only time we call end is near is when we are leaving this world. But I feel that there's always going to be some changes. If we change, make those choices of change, these things will happen. Now, they talk about the year 2012, where the end times will be also be involved. I've been told that these things, some of these parts will change, some of these pieces may go through, but it depends on us, because I remember we were told that back in 1984 there was going to be a Third World War. There was not. But basically because somebody put a stop to it, they said, no, we need to make negotiations, and this took place. So what Nostradamus or anyone else is trying to do is say, these are the things that he sees that can happen. So we are the ones who have to make those choices of making those changes. And it's just like anybody who's a reader or a medium out there, and I'm sure all these guys on our show will agree that if we decide to make choices and follow up on those because you're being guided, they're just showing you the warnings ahead of time that if you want the better part of life, it's to follow through with it. If you don't want the better part of life, and if you're ignoring it, then these end times start to come through, and they'll follow through. Now, yes, we do have things that we have to understand, that God's given us time to make choices in this life. Well, my feelings are that we're not going to really see, the people that are living today are not going to see what's going to happen, really, a lot. But I feel that our end times have been happening for the last 50 years, and things, just basically, it's on a slow pace, but it's still moving. So there's a lot of things out there going to happen.
Just to reiterate something about what Derek had mentioned about using the information and trying to see if we can make it better for tomorrow. Or let's think about Ronald Reagan when he was the President of the United States. This coincides with what Jill had stated about the career aspect of life that's happening right now. At that time, Ronald Reagan had, and Nancy Reagan, and well known to have psychics come to the White House. At that time, did Ronald Reagan really knew that Korea might or would send off rockets towards the United States sometime around now? And that's
he probably had some knowledge and vision about it.
Yes, and that's why he instituted the Star War program. If we didn't have the Star War program, would we be able to knock out the missiles out of the sky, which could happen?
But Nancy Reagan also used my mother, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Gang. And a lot of people that were intuitive, you know, also guided them in a way as well. To let them know things beforehand.
So, in aspect, so when people knock the Star War program, I have to say, you know, why knock it? It's now a benefit for most of us right now if they do send off rockets towards the United States or Japan. Otherwise, I just wanted to touch base on that. Now, Scott Christensen, what's your feelings on the writings of Nostradamus and the Bible Code and the other prophetic works out there?
Well, I think that every person on the planet has the ability to allow prophecy to help them in their life. And that can be something as simple as someone getting ready to get in their car and someone else saying, gosh, you know, I'd take a different route, or I wouldn't go that way, or I'd drive really careful today. And you watch them drive or make choices based upon that prophecy or that prediction or that warning to utilize those choices in their lives to avoid the outcome. And I believe that all of us from watching the news and the weatherman, who may be utilizing satellite imagery and technology, pictures, all these things, but at the end of the day, he's making an educated guess. He's making a prediction that we can all either choose to listen to or not listen to. And really, I think when it comes to Nostradamus, the Bible Code, Edgar Cayce, gifted mediums, anyone, that really the prophecy is only one part of the equation. And in my opinion, almost a small part is our follow-through with that information, which is going to lead to the betterment in our lives through having more information to make more informed choices.
Well, we thank you for that. And now let's go turn our attention to Jill.
No, I agree with all that, but it's what you throw out there. If you throw out there, like, how each one of us throws out predictions, and you take it in your hand, and you can hold on to that prediction, just like Nostradamus made all these predictions which came true and still is coming true, Some are just, you know, there's things and people have, you know, they're putting it together. But when all these intuitives out there are putting out predictions, you know, you have to, you know, some people don't want to hear the predictions. Like I didn't want to hear, you know, when I made a prediction about Korea, or I didn't want to, you know, I really didn't like that prediction, but it's a prediction. And, you know, you got to take the prediction seriously. But there's also ways of fixing the prediction. Where when I was a little girl and I predicted the Muslim attack in Washington, D.C., I basically saved the president. And because of that prediction, the president was nowhere near the White House. And, it's, you know, a lot of people like Rick Bush, like with this prediction I have with Korea, which is happening right now, which is going to happen, my prediction is he's going to stop it before it gets here, thank God. But, you know, there's going to be major problems. And I also see a lot of people, you know, the Navy, I see going in submarines over to Korea come around this August. And we're going to stop them from, that's just like Nostradamus made these predictions, and it gave us the future, you know. And just like what we're doing as professional psychics, we're giving information for other people. And also when you're talking about someone's life or, you know, prediction for the world, people know in advance what's going to happen. And it helps. You could stop things from happening. I'm a big fan of Nostradamus.
Well, thank you.
And your book.
Well, we were hoping to have the second edition, or revised edition of it ready right now, but we have to wait.
You don't want it during a Mercury retrograde. A Mercury retrograde is going to start July 4th until August 7th. So
then it'll be after that.
Yeah, so it has to come after August 7th. It's really the end of July it ends, but you always count 7 days after a retrograde because it's like a barbecue that's still hot. It still has to calm down. So you wait until after August 7th.
So with that, I'd like to thank Homie 3, Derek White, Sky Cloud, Scott Christensen, and Jill Dane. And we're going to go to a break. We'll be back more from this panel, this illustrious prophecy-oriented panel, right after this.
This is Stacey Allen McGee, founder of the Alternate Reality Center. We'd like to extend a personal invitation to all of the Ghostly Talk audience to come down and visit with us and the people of the past from Upper East Tennessee and Southwest Virginia on any of our 9 different walking tours. You can find out more about us at AppalachianGhostWalks.com, and we hope you're enjoying your time with Ghostly Talk.
Drop down, sweat, poison, leave from. such a beautiful day.
From Taps and Ghost Hunters. Check out theatlanticparanormalsociety.com, and you guys are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Definitely are. We'll work each bug out individually.
We tested this thing last week. We were like, we're good to go.
No. We had all kinds of interesting stuff happen last week, but it wasn't on the phone line. It was on the phone line, but it was all the people on the phone line. We had it. We thought we had overloaded it in a preparation for tonight. But yes.
Yep.
There are ghosts in the machine this week, and but that's to be expected when you have people of this caliber. We've got Homie 3, of course. We have Cattell. Cattell joins us. And let me introduce Cattell really quick. Astrologer, psychic, seer, healer, and radio talk show personality at VegasAstrologer.com. Cattell is a wonderful Las Vegas healer who shares her gifts and empowers others. She offers a monthly newsletter, weekly gatherings in Las Vegas, and is an important part of the new energy in Las Vegas. Oh, she is an important part of the new energy in Las Vegas. Also tune into her radio show on All Talk Radio named Stardate 2100. She talks about her work as an Australian. Sorry about that. Are you an Australian? No. As an astrologer, healer, channeler, and how she got started, and much more. Cattell, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's quite a privilege to be on with this esteemed group of ghostly folk.
We have ghostly folks, mediums, astrologers. We have everything here tonight.
Hey, I joined the line also, Doug. Should I read my bio, too?
And also, what we have now is we've got our very own Ghostly Talk Zone, Scott L., is back.
Finally.
In studio to talk with everybody.
Well, I was working on the back lines, trying to figure stuff out.
Exactly.
I've been here, but I was trying to figure stuff out on the back end. Hey, everybody, you mind if I mention one quick thing real fast before we move on? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. I guess
aye.
I got a cool email today from our buddy Rick over at Burbank Paranormal. I'm going to read this real quick.
Okay.
This is going on right now as we speak.
Okay.
As we speak. Hey, guys, just to let you know, myself and Bill Lanero, buddy of ours, who's on the show, have decided to offer a specially discounted price for the EDP with Attitude seminar for the listeners of your show. Normally the tickets are $100 a person, but we will reduce the price to $75 per person during Ghostly Talk tonight.
Ooh, interesting.
Tickets can be purchased at myspace.com/EVP with attitude and www.evpor.com. The seminar is August 26th, 2006. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I'll probably throw it out there again later on. I'm going to shut up now and turn my mic off. Bye.
So everybody, if you're listening, EVPOR.com. Meanwhile, we're having a fascinating discussion. We talked about Nostradamus. We talked about prophecy in general. And we're going to talk about more with our esteemed panel. We've got Homie 3, Cattell, who we just introduced, Derek White, Skycloud, Scott Christensen, and Jill Dane, all on the phone ready to talk about prophecy. Homie 3, take it away.
Well, since Cattell has just joined us, let's say, Cattell, we'd like to first find out from your standpoint of what your thoughts are on the prophetic works of Nostradamus and other prophetic works like the Bible Code or maybe the Hopi Indians.
Well, it's interesting, homie. I've been involved in the spiritual, the metaphysical, the psychic field since I was a child. I grew up in a household that allowed for it. So I had been exposed to it, even though I came up in a very strong Catholic background. There was a lot of mysticism floating around. I know from my own research, of course, that Nostradamus was an astrologer, and I'm also an astrologer. And I've observed a lot of his predictions, and, of course, he was doing the very best he could to predict based on his knowledge at that time. And I agree with what the other panel members were saying earlier in the show, that we always have free will. We always have the ability to change. And even in the book, the Bible Code, it talks about the fact that when you see it coming, sometimes you can make a shift, sometimes you can make a change. Having foreknowledge gives you the ability to change the outcome in many cases. I do believe there are times when perhaps something is, shall we say, locked in on the etheric or the Akashic level, and it cannot be changed. But I would also say that many times these predictions are given to us for the purpose of giving us a choice, giving us a free will decision, the ability to make a shift or to embrace it if it's something wonderful. You know, sometimes it's something really great and we may want to embrace it. It doesn't always have to be a negative. Sometimes it's talking about something really, really great coming up. I can't help but remember when I was a youngster, psychics who could pick up on illness were considered very unique or unusual. Could pick up on inflammation in the body, could pick up on cool spots. And now we have machines that are sensitive enough to do that. The EVP, for example, we're talking about the EVP event coming up. Many of us, and I'm sure many of the listeners, have actually heard EVP voices. There was a time when we couldn't record that. There was a time when we had no way of recording that. At this time in history, we have machinery, we have technology sensitive enough to record that. So a lot of things that are metaphysical or spiritual or mystical in nature are, let me put it this way, they have a validity in the physical world once we get sensitive enough, once we get technology, or once we have third-dimensional things sensitive enough to pick up on it. As an astrologer, I see things happening, and I agree with Jill, we have to be very careful with this Mercury retrograde coming up. But by the same token, there are ways you can actually use it to your benefit if you have to go over old things, if you have to deal with old paperwork, if you have to perhaps do rewriting or whatever the case is. It can be an ideal time to use the energy, but as she pointed out, it's not necessarily a good time to launch your book until after we get past that time. So that would be my little two cents that I'm putting in for the moment.
We thank you.
Or make any wise decisions around that time frame.
I'd like to make mention on what Derek had mentioned about the words and how what was written down years ago. The last time we were on, I think we talked about the St. Malachi prophecies, where this pope at the time in the 1100s wrote down the future of all the popes of the Catholic Church. Now, we mentioned about that we're in the next to the last pope. Now, when he wrote in the prophecies on the last pope, he did mention about the end of being the end. And that does, as he said, as Derek said, it doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world. It could mean the end of the Catholic Church as we see it or know it. It means that we could have a change of spirituality around the world. That's a good possibility.
Well, I'd also like to jump in at this point and speak a little bit about the end of a particular cycle. astrologically, there are cycles that run approximately 25,000 years. We've all heard the song, Dawning of the Age of Aquarius, but we are now entering the Age of Aquarius. By 2012, we will be in the Age of Aquarius. It's a 25,000-year cycle. That is, I believe, what many of these predictions are talking about as far as the end of cycle, coming to the end of a given cycle.
I don't see it being the end of the world, though.
No, I don't either.
Okay. Maybe the end of the so-called world that we live in may change, which means the end of our society, of the world as we live it. We could change our whole lifestyle after this point, after a certain point in time.
Let me give you an example as well. My elders used to always get upset with me when they keep on telling me, because I have native blood in my body, I'm a half-breed. And my elders used to say to me, I don't like this new age stuff that you're talking about. And because they're taught the old school, and when they're told the old school, they're taught when and when it's going to happen, but they talk about the creation of life, not the new age of life. And to help people understand the fact the word new age does not mean a new age of new things. What it really means is that the new age is the old age. It's the old times, the old traditions that we used to follow that have been ignored or forgotten because as children, some of us are taken away to live with other families. Some of us are taken away from our culture, taken away from what we practice. And what we're trying to do is bring back the traditions, learning about the old ways, the old medicines, the survival, having to learn about the healing aspects, about working with family again, and to learn how to take care of ourselves with the proper medicines that we grow. Go back to nature and walk that way, but not a way of ignorance and say, I'm not going to talk to a doctor anymore, but just basically learning about how to heal themselves sometimes, because they tend to forget that the society itself in the past had learned to survive in the bush, had learned to survive traveling across the land. And then when people became a city, they forgot what the life was like to live in that way, having to travel and become independent. And so they became dependent upon the westernized medicines. But sometimes we have to learn about ourselves first before we can actually say, trust everything you hear, trust everything you see, but to learn from, to deal with what you learn, to accept what comes to your heart first, learn to filter what feels right first before you say it's the truth.
That was a nice statement.
Thank you.
Well, anybody else like to add to that?
Back in the 1940s, we could say, when my mother was, my mother was born in the 30s, back then they didn't really know about psychic abilities or intuition or predictions. They weren't really knowledgeable, and my mother was predicting back then, and they didn't take it seriously. When I was six, I started predicting, and on radio and television with it, and all my friends and people then were getting familiarized with, because who my mother is, familiarized with predictions about the world and medicine and holistic and healing. But healing wasn't really until around back, like how it is now. Back in the 70s, healing wasn't, people weren't taking healing abilities so seriously. And I met some really good healers when I was like 13 years old out in Ireland. Now everybody is more familiarized, and is accepting intuition and is accepting predictions. Back then, my mom would make predictions. They would listen. They posted in the newspaper. They posted it to be on Johnny Carson or on television and saying the prediction. But some people would take it in. Some people would, not listen. Now, even people that are very Catholic are, asking questions. I have priests. I have rabbis. I have Monsignor priests that are my clients. They come to see me. None. And who would think that?
Well, you know, there's something, too. Even when we remember when we had 9/11, and I had a man come and see me one time just a few days before this happened, and the first thing I looked at him and I said to him, before, no matter what you do, don't go to work. Now, here I'm living in British Columbia. I'm nowhere near New York. And I'm telling this man, don't go to work, stay at home, don't do anything, take 2 weeks off. And this guy got upset with me. He says, are you crazy? He says, I have to go to work. He says, I got a $2.5 million deal to take on. I said, trust me, it's not going to pan out. Not ready yet. It won't work itself through yet, but eventually it'll work itself through after. But you need to take those 2 weeks off. And he said, you're telling me that I have to get the time. I said, yes, take the time off. Just do it, anything, just don't go to work for at least two, 3 days. Or at least 2 weeks. So he said, okay, I'll take your word for it. He told his wife, he's taking 2 weeks off, and she was like, oh my God, I'm glad he's home. And after 9/11, 2 days after, he called me up and he said, Derek, you freaked me out. And I said, what? He said, I work for the New York Stock Exchange. I was supposed to be there, and you told me not to be there. Now, sometimes we make a prediction, we don't know why, but it just happens to be to save or help someone to make a change. Doesn't always mean that person or persons are destined to leave. So when we look at the word, the New Age, it is not the, always the beginning, it's just change. It's a new life. That's what it means.
Right, this also brings home the point that it's a matter of free will. That man had a choice. He could either have ignored you or gone forward.
Exactly.
And obviously it made a huge difference for him to listen to you.
It did. It did. When I had I was actually doing a church service. Remember we had the tsunami. And just after about a day or two after, I was doing a church service. I asked him to do a presentation, so I was in church. And I told everybody, I made a prediction. I'm making a prediction that we're going to have a second tsunami, the very same area, but it won't be as big. I told them that weekend, on a Monday morning, about a half dozen people phoned me up that were in church and said to me, my God, Derek, it happened. The tsunami did happen, but it only was small after the one that already did happen. I said, well, I'm going by what I'm told to say. But sometimes somebody's predictions don't always mean they have to be absolutely huge to say it's going to change the world. But what it does is saying that be prepared for change. What do you want to do with it? But I will say this to anyone and everyone across the world, please, please do not give up all of your possessions and say it's the end of the world. I had too many clients come to see me and say, well, I'm going to sell everything and I'm going to dig myself in a hole in the ground and build it made of concrete and live in it until this whole thing's over.
Now, I have to agree with Derek on that. Just because some people say it's the end of the world, you got to live each day as it comes.
Yeah.
And what if God does want to make a change to this world? That it could be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or 30 years from now. We don't know that time frame. So take each day as it comes and live the best we can.
But I'm not God, and I don't see it going to be the end of the world.
No.
You know, I have to agree with you about that. I've actually meditated to see what I can observe 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road, and I see activity. I see people. I see cities. We still may have a gas crisis, but I see activity. I do not myself. I don't see the end of the world, and I've been looking to see if it's there, but that's not what I see.
There's going to be, the gas is still going to be up to like three, it's going to be up to maybe $3. It's not going to go up to $8 or $5, thank God. You know, it's going to start going down. That's what
I'll tell you right now, our gas in Canada is far more than yours, as far as price is concerned.
How much is your gas in Canada?
Well, we pay here $1.25 a liter.
Different.
And you break it down to $1.25, which is $5.25 a gallon.
U.S. $5.25?
Yes, yes. Okay. We're paying more money for gas than you guys are. We're still more expensive than you are. But yet, when the Americans cross the border into Canada, they think our gas is cheaper because they think the liter is a gallon.
Right. A liter is closer to a quarter, unless I'm mistaken.
Less than a quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're paying about $5.25. If you break it down to an imperial gallon, it's $5.25 an imperial American gallon.
Well, I'm talking over here in the U.S. I'm not talking about where you are.
No, we're doing fine right now, forget that.
You guys better just be happy what you got.
That's absolutely correct.
We're doing okay, Jill.
I'm sorry?
We're doing okay with the gas prices here.
We're doing okay. You know, and thank God it's not going to go up to like $5, like, you know, by 2010. It's only going to be going, it'll be going back down.
Scott, did you say something about vehicles, that there's going to be some change in vehicle travel?
Yeah, well, I think that there's going to be a lot of things going on, and a lot of these trends we can already see with the vehicles and the hybrid vehicles and more turning into to ethanol, a renewable energy source, and all these sort of things. And to me, those just make sense. I mean, you can hear on the news where a lot of the major oil companies are pumping billions of dollars into some huge oil reserves that have been found in the Gulf of Mexico. And that's great for helping us make the transition, but I see no need for us, technologically speaking, to be dependent on any sort of fossil fuels when we've proven that corn, a renewable resource, can be utilized for absolutely everything that we're right now dependent on a fossil fuel that takes a long time to replenish itself.
Yeah, that's true.
And by the same token, economically... Well, I was just going to say, economically speaking, too, we've got the land and we've got the farmers, and they want to be put to work, and they want their land to be utilized, and this is an excellent venue for them, economically as well as pollution-wise, it's cleaner burning, and it's renewable.
That's another prediction that predicting that Bush will that law will be passed for the immigrants. For the United States, that they'll get their citizenship. That's another prediction. It will go through.
Let me tell you a story about this here. Like, I'm in Canada, you guys are in the United States, and George Bush or his government doesn't realize that, you know, they're saying that Canada should have, we should have, or all of us should have passports crossing from Canada to the United States. But yet, we're called North America. I'm North American, you're North American. What does that make us? Right?
Sounds like it makes you a form of an American.
Yeah, I don't want to be an illegal alien, except if I'm from space. But yet the Americans also passed a law, the government passed a law just not too long ago, that if you're caught talking to an extraterrestrial or on their spaceship, you'll go to jail.
Can you say that again? Can you repeat that?
George, they actually passed a law.
Right.
That if you try to talk to an extraterrestrial, or if you're caught talking to an extraterrestrial, like an alien, or if you're talking, if you're on a spaceship.
An alien.
Okay. If you're on a spaceship, you have to report it to the government, or if they caught you on the spaceship and they catch you, you go to jail.
And which country is this?
United States.
And how would somebody research that?
You look it up. It's in the government. They just passed it.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
You're caught talking extraterrestrial, or if you're on the continent walking on a spaceship or coming off a spaceship, you get caught. You're going to jail because you're not supposed to be talking to an illegal alien.
You're making a joke.
No, it's real. It's
real.
It's the truth.
We have a lot of laws on the books in our country, Jill.
I'll tell you why. You're talking about illegal aliens, like people that are, you know, that
I understand, but this is the truth. This is the truth. I'm not just bringing about a joke about the Mexicans. This is the truth. Because myself, I am actually an abductee. I was taken as a child on a ship when I was 6 years old. I've been abducted how many times throughout my life? The last time I was on the ship was about 4 years ago. So I know what it's like to be on the ship. I know it's like who I talk to. And that's why I do the research myself. I know the truth.
Can I ask you something? Can you tell us about your experience? Because I believe there's aliens out there. So can you tell us about your experience?
When I was on the ship, there is a man. He called himself Zeel. Z-E-E-L. And this guy is 10 feet tall. I swear to God, I didn't believe, I thought I saw, you know, my cousin Dwayne is 7 feet tall. I thought he was tall. But this guy was 10 feet tall. They wore a white cloak, like it looks like a white uniform, but a white cloak. The mask, they look like giant aliens, but they're actually, the mask, when they take it off, they have a normal human face like us. The only thing is that I asked them, well, why do you wear this mask? Is it because the sun's rays on this earth is too powerful on their eyes? Their eyes are weak because of the sun's rays. Because they're from another galaxy, it's hard for them to deal with the, I guess you, they were saying, that the poisons that are in the air.
Where did they take you?
They took me to a planet called TM.
Okay.
T-I-E-M. And when I was on the planet, when they dropped me off the ship, now when I remember seeing the ship flying up, they carry as many as 300,000 people on one ship.
So you
and
met
they go
other
from,
people?
They're people. They're people like you and me.
No, but you met other people like you.
Yes.
Okay.
Go people ahead. Like me. In fact, they even recognized me. They walked up to me and they said, oh, hi, Derek, how are you doing? Long time no see. And they're like, okay, do I know you? But I was there.
Can I ask you something? Why
yep.
do you think they chose you?
Why not me?
No, I'm just asking.
Why? Because they told me that I'm from there, that I've been there. I've lived for 1,000 years there. They live longer lives than most people do. I have implants to prove it.
Okay. No, I know a lot. You know, I've
I remember being on the bed on the gurney. I call it gurney where they operated. They put the implants in me. I remember seeing them putting this thing inside my nasal passage. And when I had a shower that very same day, when I got up, I showered and I sneezed. And I had blood in my hands, but I saw this silvery sort of casing look like an outer skin or the inner skin of an egg that never got hard. And it was dissolving in my hand through the water. And so I have one behind my nasal passages and one behind my thigh. And the thing is that I was always kept on asking, why me? Because they told me that the reason why they keep traces of me so they can pass me information what's going to happen to the future.
Well, we also, I think Scott Christensen also, I had a conversation with Scott. I think Scott also had some sort of a experience. Didn't you, Scott?
Well, I did. I'd been a keynote speaker at a lot of different paranormal events and these sort of things, and I was always a lot of times approached by people who told me they were ETs, and I just looked and I would see past lives on Earth. And so, you know, I was like, okay, you know, your truth is your truth. I don't see it, but that's your deal. And I was at a psychic fair doing mini readings, and, you know, at most psychic fairs, I'll knock out like 60 mini readings inside of 2 days. I mean, it's just cranking. And my assistant, Becca, was just setting people down in front of me, and off I was reading, and this lady sat down in front of me, and I grabbed hold of her hand, and I tuned in, and the only thing I could say was, you're not from around here, are you? and she looked at me.
Is that the best pickup line you got, Scott?
in that particular circumstance, it sure is. Those were about the only words that I could form at that point. And she looked at me, and she said, I think you're ready to see some things. And instead of me doing a reading for her, I started seeing things in my mind's eye, and she was explaining to me, she was defining what I was seeing as I was seeing it. I wasn't seeing it and asking her questions. She was showing me pictures inside my mind and then explaining to me what she was showing me, and it just absolutely blew me away. And it was probably 6 months after that a gentleman came to my office to get a reading, and, you know, this happened all the time, so there have been a whole lot of people in between this gentleman and this lady. And he sat down, and he says, you know, I said, what can I do for you? He says, well, just tune in, general reading. And I tuned in, and again, the only words that I could form were, you're not from around here either, are you? And the gentleman looked at me, and he said, she said you were good. And he walked to the front door of my office, and he opened it up, and in my door, this lady from 6 months ago came through. And the two of them together said, I told you he was the real deal, now let's show him some things. And they laid me down on my healing table, and one at my head and one at my feet, and together they began to show me things again in my mind's eye, and jointly they would explain to me what they were showing me. And it absolutely blew me away. And those are the only two experiences that I've had with extraterrestrials, but they sure blew me away.
Hey, guys and gals.
I want to hear a story. I met a lady by the name of Shirley Klein Karsh. She's 89, and she's still alive, and she's been in contact with extraterrestrials since she was in her early 40s. They gave her 8 plates, and they're about the size of credit cards, and they're gold in color, and they have hieroglyphics on them. I was asked to come to this conference about 8 years ago, and I sat in the conference, and I was in the second row while she was doing her talk.
What
I didn't pay for this. I'm sorry?
What state or country was this at?
Here in Canada, here where I live. And she lives here. Anyways, she was doing her talk, her lecture, and I didn't pay for the lecture coming down. A lady friend of mine bought it for me, the tickets for my birthday. That's why they asked me to come. So I went there, and I sat, and I listened. I didn't say nothing. I was watching, and everybody's just chatting, and some people going like, yeah, yeah. They're heckling her in a way. And I didn't say nothing. I was watching as she's telling her story. All of a sudden, I can hear beehive noises. You know how bees are around you, like really strong, like as if you're inside of a beehive? Well, I can hear the sound become so intense. And I'm looking around, and nobody is moving. Everybody went into freeze frame. Nobody even talked. And I'm looking, and I'm going, okay, this is strange. What's going on? Shirley turns towards me, and she says, are you Derek? And I said, yes, I am. She said, I have a message for you. I want to meet you after we've done the lecture. Can you meet me? And I said, sure. And so after the lecture, or before the lecture was over, she stopped, like a matter of time went bang, and all of a sudden people were still talking, and then she came up to me and she says, how are you doing? She says, I got a message from the beings from up above, but she gave them the names. I wasn't thinking right now. But she gave them the names, and she said, my directors told me to come and see you, find you, and have a chat with you. They want you to channel the plates for me and tell me what you get from them. There was only 3 people that she met through all the years, and she said only 3 people have been able to decipher the plates. I was only allowed to decipher the 6 out of the 8. And to me, it was the biggest honor to actually do this. Now, this woman is getting quite elderly to the point where she may leave this world soon, and I said to Spirit, what's going to happen to the plates? They said, you will be notified before she leaves. In the meantime, she's been sharing her story with a lot of people about what happens, and she tells the future regarding through those plates. It tells you what happens on their planet and the planet on this Earth, and she also talks about the planet Sirius all the time. And she talks about Nerubu, which basically is our second planet here on this galaxy.
What was that, Doug?
This is Scott, actually. Why don't we take a quick break just for a second, because we're going to try some stuff with the phone line here to try to make it sound better for everybody.
Okay.
Is everybody cool taking a break right now? Everybody is
safe. Yeah, take a break.
All right. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L. Doug's hiding around here somewhere. We're kind of all like on the ceiling all over the place right now. That mic is dead. I'll tell you what. I'll do it for you. This is Scott L., and this is Doug, and this is Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back after this.